I'm Steve Potter, and coming up a little bit later on Cityscape, a plein air art event in Louisiana, Missouri that attracts artists and the public from across the Midwest. But first, here are some stories that our newsroom is following. A portion of eastbound Interstate 64 in the Metro East shuts down tonight and will be closed for 9 days. There's also planned road work this weekend on Highway 40 in Chesterfield that will shut down the interstate there for a few hours. And our State House reporter, Marshall Griffin, is following up with Republican lawmakers who broke ranks and failed to override the governor's veto of House Bill 253, the tax cut bill. Join St. Louis Public Radio this afternoon for local and regional news and throughout the day on our website at stlpublicradio.org. Time now for our monthly soundbite segment in partnership with Sauce Magazine. And today, Sauce Magazine's hit list. We want to welcome Sauce's executive editor, LaGaya Figueres, also the owner and operator, he operates it with his brother Derek, of the Sub-Zero Vodka Bar, Lucas Gamlin, and Fred Harrison, who is involved in all that too. We'll get into that later. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you for having us.
LaGaya, when I first heard that Sauce Magazine had a hit list, I got a little nervous.
Oh, why? No, the hit list is a good thing.
What is it?
New places to try. We have so many readers who come to us wondering, where should we go eat? Where should we go eat? Now they know exactly where we're eating these days. So, or, you know, places that we think are worth taking a look at.
Uh-huh. And Lucas, you and your brother Derek own and operate Sub-Zero Vodka Bar, which is on Euclid in the Central West End.
That's correct.
And you've been there a while now.
Yeah, we just celebrated our 9th anniversary last night. We had a big Grey Goose party, and we've been there 9 years. It's been really exciting and
fun. Well, you mentioned Grey Goose. Would you please list all the vodkas that you offer?
Well, it'd be a little hard. We'd be here for a while, and I don't want to take up that much of your time. But we have over 600 vodkas, the largest vodka selection in the country. Oddly, Grey Goose still sells 4-to-1 over most of them, just
really?
From the brand recognition. So, yeah.
Wow. And Fred, what's your relationship in all this?
Oh, I have been with the Gamlins since day one. I was there the night they opened Sub-Zero Vodka Bar, and I've had 1 foot in the restaurant business and 1 foot in education, and just last year the Gamlins brought me back full-time to run their new restaurant, the Gamlin Whiskey House, which is opening soon. I'm going to be the GM there and also helping with the other restaurant in the Grove neighborhood.
Which is?
Taha Twisted Tiki.
Say that three times quickly.
Taha Twisted Tiki. Taha Twisted Tiki.
LaGaya, why did you decide that these two new enterprises that the Gamlin brothers are opening would deserve to be on your hit list? Because you only identified four, right?
On hit list, we identified Gamlin Whiskey House, Element, and the new beer garden at Anheuser-Busch. Gamlin, in particular, deserves to be on this list for what they're doing when one thinks of a steakhouse concept, and that is dust it off a little bit. That's not the idea that they're going to be doing at all. They're very much in tune with this a whiskey house. Right? So you're going to find whiskeys on tap, which is not something that one typically sees.
What? Wait. I never heard of that.
Yeah, we actually are going to have 4 whiskey cocktails on tap at all times. So we'll have a few that will probably stay standard, and then we'll have a couple that switch out.
Isn't that interesting?
So you're going to see things like bourbon and whiskey flights. You're going to see, like he said, you know, the craft cocktails. They're going down to Kentucky to hand select some of the bourbon and other whiskeys that they're going to be offering.
Well, I want to ask you about that because I have family in bourbon country. And people always ask me, what's the difference between bourbon and whiskey? And I know there's a little difference, but is there really?
There is a difference. And
in
you know,
taste?
The lines, bourbons are a little more
I thought it was
sweet.
The process.
It's really the process. And there is a stamp that you can get that's a legal type of thing. You have to age it 4 years and whatever else to be called a bourbon. But people are making bourbons in Oregon and other places as well. So it's a pretty loose interpretation.
Well, there's also got to be a certain percentage of corn that was part of the process. So now there are legalities.
But to the average person, it's sort of the same thing.
You know, whiskey was born in Ireland, and there's Scotch whiskeys, there's Irish whiskeys, there's Canadian whiskeys, which became
like I said, it's totally different.
When you go to Gamlin Whiskey House and see their selection of 200, I'm certain that they're going to be also educating people so that one can unlearn exactly what the differences are.
Fred, would you describe the whiskey house atmosphere and what you're trying to create there as far as ambiance?
We have, the Gamlins have created a beautiful restaurant. with copper highlights and raw wood tables and bar top. It's really going to be spectacular. We're going to have a beautiful patio, which sits right on the corner in the Central West End to watch the traffic go by. And like Lucas said, behind the bar, we're going to have a good 80, 90 whiskeys, or I'm sorry, up to 200 whiskeys to choose from. Our bartender, bar manager, Dustin Parrish, has created an amazing whiskey cocktail list. Some that are pretty sweet, that if you're not a huge whiskey drinker, you might like, and some that are a little bit rougher for those of us that are more experienced.
What's your idea of a rough whiskey drink?
Something on the rocks, I would say, would be pretty rough.
Like a good Manhattan myself.
Oh, we're going to have great Manhattans. We're going to use our signature Knob Creek, which we actually went and selected right in the rack house. We tasted 10 o'clock in the morning. We were drinking whiskey right out of a barrel at 140 proof, selecting the barrel that we wanted for Gamblin' Whiskey.
That must have been a long day.
It was a rough start to the day.
Well, how about food? Is that an important element here?
Oh, of course. You know, we've always been a bar-forward kind of concept, that we've always wanted to focus on the bar for sure. Obviously, Sub-Zero Vodka Bar, Gamblin' Whiskey House, Taha Twisted Tiki, those all talk about the bar, but we've always wanted to make solid recipes and have really quality ingredients to keep people there longer than just drinking.
I want to talk about the whole idea of operating different establishments with totally different themes, if you will. So just briefly, tell us about Taha's Twisted Tiki, which is going to be down in on the Manchester Strip Grove area.
It is. We're taking over the old Premium Lounge, which is right across from Sanctuaria and Ernie's there on Boyle in Manchester. We're building an amazing patio out back with a tiki bar. We're going to have tiki torches that are lining that, and it's going to just be a really fun, relaxed atmosphere. Our tagline down there is going to be no hurry, no worry. You'll see that on the side of the building with our we just painted the side of the building with our sign, and it's going to be
well. Here's what I'm curious about. If I was a bar owner, I mean, I think you have to or a restaurant owner, you have to concentrate so much on consistency and, you know, having a theme. But then when you're operating three distinct places with totally different atmospheres and menus and objectives, that's tricky, isn't it?
It's a challenge for sure, but you know, we've been open with Sub-Zero for 9 years. We've really honed in on our processes and made sure that we have a great, solid recipe.
Because that's all about vodka.
It's all about
vodka, the whiskey
sushi,
place,
and burgers. So.
And then the tiki is the rum thing.
Yeah, it's three separate things. And, you know, we're going to have great steaks. We're going to have grilled oysters and bacon boards over at the Gamblin' Whiskey House. It's going to be super unique, more casual than you would think of a normal steakhouse. We're definitely not wanting to be a special category place, so where you would just go on a special occasion.
Mm-hmm.
We want everybody to feel comfortable coming in and coming a few times a week.
Well, Agai, is that more common than I think?
It's becoming more common. And I mean, you know, with the Gamblin's doing this, I think pointing out their patience in waiting to do their second and then back-to-back, right, second and third shows, and that they've, you know, been open for 9 years. But I, you know, in thinking about other people in town that some of your listeners might recognize their establishments, we know that Gerard Kraft now has 4 restaurants. The Tilford brothers, Adam and Jason, have Tortilleria and Milagro Mission and Barristers. And there's people like the Del Pietro brothers who own, you know, their separate restaurants around town, and also even in both sides of Missouri in Kansas City area, and then even over in Edwardsville. But two people that came to my mind and who I actually made a phone call, I wanted to ask them what they thought, were Brant Baldanza and Dave Bailey, because both of them also own multiple venues in town, and each one is very distinct, and both also have restaurants that are going to be opening end of October, early November. So my question was, how do you do this? What's the most difficult thing for you? And I thought it was curious. Dave Bailey, who everyone would know his restaurants downtown, that would be Bailey's Chocolate Bar, Bailey's Range, Bridge, Rooster, and the one he has coming in is going to be called Small Batch, and that's opening in Midtown Alley. So what he mentioned is he currently has 190 employees between these different entities, and that he's going to have up to 230 as soon as Small Batch opens. And so for him, that idea of staffing and making sure that he has the right mix of talent talent and personalities in the right spots, right? That's his problem. I mean, it's not a problem. It's he said also, you know, that's the joy when you get it right, but having everyone part of the same mission. And Brant, when I spoke with him, he said the hardest part is organization. You know, he mentioned if he had five corner pubs, one of his is corner pub, it would be less, quote, less fun. But if he had multiple restaurants that were all the same concept, his buying power would get better. Menu changes would be a lot easier. Training would be easier because you're training on the same concept. So, you know, in the case of the Gamlins, they're training on three different concepts all the time.
And Lucas, I need to ask you, because you operate your business with your brother, Derek, and I know you'll be truthful because he's not here. And I know I have a brother, and we had a hard time living down the hall from one another. So...
Well, oddly, I had a very hard time living down the hall from my brother when we were growing up as well. You know, my father taught at our high school at Clayton High, and I think that mixing two relationships at once has kind of been ingrained in me since then. I came back and moved back from Oregon to just bartend for my brother. I didn't necessarily want to be in the business with him. And very shortly after I moved back, we realized it was going to be a bigger undertaking than we had imagined. And I bought into that, and we've been partners ever since.
Oh, and one final thank you I want to ask you. You've got this really interesting deal with the Rams and the Blues.
Yeah, we are on our third year of our deal with the Rams. We took over Georgia Frontier's old suite, and that seats about 100 people. It's a very exclusive club atmosphere, and we also expanded that onto the club level upstairs to have two 50-yard line bars as well as a bunch of remote bars throughout the dome and our tailgate. We're just on our first year with the Blues, which starts in about 20 days. The build-out for the suite there is just about finalized, and we're really excited to see what we can accomplish there as well.
That's Lucas Gamlin, who owns the Sub-Zero Vodka Bar and the soon-to-be-open Gamlin Whiskey House, which is where again?
It's right in the heart of the Central West End. It's at
Maryland. Oh, it's just up the street from Sub-Zero, right?
Yeah, it's actually right around the corner, right where Liluma used to be.
And then
very excited to be on that corner. And
Taha's Twisted Tiki, which will open up on Manchester.
Open on Manchester in the middle of next month.
That's Lucas Gamlin. Fred Harrison is here, who's going to, I guess, will you be running the whiskey bar?
I will. I'll be the GM at the whiskey bar, and I'll also be an operating partner at the Taha Twisted Tiki, so I'll be there as well. So I'm going to be pretty darn busy here in the next month.
Well, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
LaGaia Figueres is the executive editor of Sauce Magazine, and I guess it's this month's issues is what we're talking about, the hit list of the three places that you've recommended people try this month.
Absolutely. They can look for hit lists every month in the magazine.
And I want to mention, too, that coming up on Wednesday, September 25th, Sauce Magazine is involved with something we're doing here at Umsola Grand Center, right?
Microbrewology,
which is a talk and tasting of craft beers.
Exactly. We're looking forward to it.
That sounds great. We'd love to be a part of it.
So the public is welcome to that, so they can go to our website.
Please, absolutely.
Facebook page or something and check out all of that. LaGaia Figueres, Fred Harrison, and Lucas Gamlin, thanks for being part of this edition of Sauce Magazine.
Thank you again.
Thanks for having us.
And before we go any further, I just want to mention earlier we talked to Nathan Lee Graham, who's playing the part of the MC in the Reps production of Cabaret, which is opening tonight. Nathan grew up here in St. Louis, so there are probably some people out there that remember him from high school or whatever. And we have a picture of Nathan. And if you'd like to see that, go to our Facebook page. It'll probably be on our website, too, later in the day at some point. But take a look at Nathan Lee Graham and his love for St. Louis Public Radio on our Facebook page today. And finally, next Saturday, artists from across the Midwest will gather for the second annual plein air event in Louisiana, Missouri. Dennis Babbitt serves on the Golden Hills of Louisiana Plein Air Committee, and we welcome him to Cityscape Now. Hi, Dennis.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. And right up front, I know there's a little controversy on the pronunciation. I said plein air, so I am right, aren't I?
Yes. Plein air, it depends on how you curl your tongue, I guess.
All right, I'm going to stick with plein, if that's all right with you.
That sounds great.
So plein air refers to artists painting outdoors on site, I guess would be a good way to put it, right?
Exactly. It's basically painting what you see or what you feel when you are outside.
And it's usually quick, sort of impressionism, am I right?
It can be. There are people that actually, some artists will take it days at a time. going back to the same location at the same time each day until they finish the painting in order to keep the light the same.
Well, Louisiana is a little Mississippi River town in Pike County that's north of St. Louis, south of Hannibal. Why is it a good site for plein air painting?
Well, Louisiana actually is one of the most beautiful small towns that you will find along the Mississippi River in Missouri here. It's nearly 200 years old. It has a, from what I understand, the largest concentration of intact Victorian homes along one thoroughfare in the state, which would be Georgia Street, which is our main drive. It's just full of hills, and the views of the river, the views of the town are just outstanding. They'll just knock your socks off. The older homes that are beautifully taken care of, the old alleyways, it's just a wonderful place to find inspiration to paint.
And Louisiana's on what do they call that, an art corridor?
Right. Some years ago, a few years back, John Steckley and a group got together and they're what they call the 50 miles of art, which basically starts at Clarksville, about 10 miles south, and ends at Hannibal, roughly 30 miles to the north. And the 50 miles of art is twice a year, and all the artists open their studios for that, roughly that 50 miles, two times a year, in the spring and in the fall.
Right. Now, I know you're expecting artists from across the Midwest, literally, and I happen to know one that's coming that I think was there last year, Billy O. O'Donnell. And a couple of years ago, I had the chance, I met him down on the riverbanks in St. Charles on the Missouri River and watched him work. And for those people that haven't experienced that, watching artists do this, it's a real experience.
It really is. It's an exciting thing to watch somebody take what they see and put it on a panel or a board or a canvas in their own distinct way. Billy O is a wonderful artist. He's nationally known, actually internationally known. I mean, he's done very well over in Ireland just recently. And he is just one of the many artists that we have coming down. We have some wonderful artists coming from Kansas City, from Iowa, from St. Louis. It's very exciting.
One final thing, Dennis. I know you're inviting artists to come, but it's also an event for the spectator, too.
Absolutely. The artists have all been notified. We're still accepting artists to come in. But the spectators, everybody's welcome to our town to enjoy searching out the artists as they paint in town and around town and see what they're painting. And then later that evening, the paintings will be for exhibit and sale at the Masonic Hall.
It's the Golden Hills of Louisiana plein air event next Saturday, the 21st, in Louisiana, Missouri. And if you'd like more information, we'll have links. I know you have a Facebook page and everything. Go to stlpublicradio.org to the Cityscape page. And one last thing, we owe plein air to the paint tube, right?
That's exactly right. About 150 years ago, give or take, the paint tubes made it available for the artists to take their paints out into the field.
It's the plein air event in Louisiana next Saturday. Dennis Babbitt, thanks for sharing with us.
Thank you very much.
And next week on Cityscape, we're going to talk with St. Louis Symphony Music Director David Robertson as the orchestra begins a new season. And join Don Marsh Monday for St. Louis on the Air when he'll talk with journalist Ray Suarez about his book examining the history of Latin Americans in this country and his involvement in the PBS American Graduates Initiative. Cityscape is produced by Mary Edwards and Alex Hoyer, with assistance from Camille Phillips and Kristen Torres. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. Cityscape is made possible in part by the Arts and Education Council of Greater St. Louis, the Regional Arts Commission, and the Missouri Arts Council, a state agency. Cityscape is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. I'm Steve Potter, and please join us next week.